All right, Mark chapter 1. Straightway every day. That's my topic today. You know, when I told you that we would be preaching in the Gospel of Mark, I said one of the things I'm so excited about is the opportunity to cover so many different life lessons by just watching the life of Jesus. And that's why we sing that song, Let's Talk About Jesus, because Mark is a book about Jesus. And we just watch him as he moves and works among men and ministers and pleases his Father and all the things that he does. And so this particular message this morning, if it does not help anyone, I want to confess at the outset, it was for me. In my study, it certainly spoke to my heart. Straightway, every day. Secondary title could be, A Better You Guarantees a Better Year. Now, we all want to have a better year, but have you thought about what it might take to have a better year? Well, starts with a better you. So we need a plan. You know, what we need to work on. Now, I'm not talking about resolutions and things of that nature. I want to look at the life of Jesus. There's something the Holy Spirit pointed out to me that when I realized how he accomplished so much that he did when he was on earth, I thought, this is for me. So a better year needs a better you. Let me show you, first of all, in Mark chapter 2, this is where I begin reading for the next sermon, usually late Sunday night. After I attend Man Cave, it always kind of prepares me to get my thoughts on track. And so when everyone's laid down, I like to look ahead to the next week and start my reading for the next sermon. Well, I fully anticipated that the sermon would come from Mark chapter 2, and I was excited because this is a very familiar story. It's a very exciting story about how Jesus heals a man who was paralyzed because of palsy, and his friends had to tear the roof up to lower him into the church. And so, exciting story, great miracle, familiar to most, if not all of us. So I did my reading, and then I went on and picked it up a couple of times during the week. But every time I began to try to develop thoughts on this, there was a particular word that kept leaping off the page speaking to me, and I was looking at it, and it's that word straightway. And again, he entered into Capernaum, the word says, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as at the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now, straightway. So I knew I had come across that word many times, particularly in the book of Mark. So I thought I would look it up, you know. And so I did, and I looked it up. And the word is actually, in the Greek, it is translated straightway. Sometimes it's translated immediately. Sometimes it's translated forthwith. And a couple of times it's translated anon. The word comes from the word euthus, the Greek word euthus. But it shows up in our Bible straightway, forthwith, immediately, anon. And the word is a very strong word. What it actually means is it describes something that has no real hesitation. There's no resolving and retracting. There's no starting and there's no stopping. It is something that happens almost instantly. It's stronger than the word shortly. For example, Paul tells the Corinthian church that if it's the Lord's will, he said, I'll come see you shortly. That means soon, not too long, won't be, just a little while, much stronger. It's quicker than quick. When a person is moving straightway, when they're operating or functioning in a straightway kind of life, as we'll look at in just a moment, then they're walking in harmony with the will of God. They're moving, everything they're doing, they're doing it without reservations, without slowing down, without procrastinating or putting off what should be done. Have you ever wondered how some people can accomplish so much in such little time? Think about it. I mean, they get so much done, and in half the time that it takes you to do that. For example, I think about it all the time with relation to my own self. I listen to a number of preachers that I enjoy, and I'm always fascinated that they can cover so much in far less time than it would ever take me to cover it. And I admire these men. I'm amazed by that. When you look at the life of Jesus, particularly Jesus, think about how much he accomplished in such little time. We only know about 3 years of his public ministry, but we don't know about the other years, but we know in 3 years he accomplished a lot. When John wrote his gospel, he said if he could write down everything that Jesus said and did, he said, I suppose that the world wouldn't have enough room for the books that could be written about all that he said and did. And that is in those 3.5 years. How did Jesus do so much in such little time? Well, you said, of course, he was Emmanuel. That is very true. But what Jesus did when he did on this earth, he did by virtue of Spirit-anointed humanity. The word straightway is attached to the life of Jesus many different times in Scripture. So when I thought about that, I started going back. I put my finger on chapter 2 and said, wait a minute, I've missed that word. And so here, for example, when he's baptized, he straightway comes up out of the water, and the heavens open, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. So he straightway comes up. Now, then if you look a little further in Mark, the next screen, immediately, now that's the same word, euthus, translated here immediately. He straightway comes up out of the water at his baptism, and now euthus, the Spirit, drives him into the wilderness. Okay, so he's baptized, and now the Holy Spirit immediately takes him into the wilderness, and as we looked at that passage, to be tempted of the devil. Now, after the temptation, look, watch Jesus on the move again. We'll pick it up in verses 16 through 19. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Jesus straightway called, and they straightway answered. Now when he'd gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. Euthus, immediately, forthwith, at once, when he saw them, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And so now Jesus is around Galilee and he's building his team, his disciples, and he's doing it straightway. He's baptized straightway. He's in the wilderness straightway. He sees the fishermen and he straightway calls and they straightway answer. So what does he do now? Well, he's going to Capernaum to begin doing public ministry there. Notice what happens in verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered the synagogue and taught. There's no hesitation. There's no time for anything else. He's constantly doing that he believes he should be doing. Picking up the reading in verse 29 to 31. And forthwith, now that's the same word, euthus, translated immediately or straightway. And forthwith, when they were coming out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Right after church, they went to Peter's house. Andrew, James, and John are there. Now Peter's wife, Simon here, his wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And then they straightway, or anon, or forthwith, or euthus, they tell him of her. And when he, you never want the cook to be sick, right? And so he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And what? Immediately or straightway, forthwith, the fever leaves her and she ministers unto them. My point is this. When the Holy Spirit was drawing my attention to that word straightway or immediately or without hesitation, he began to speak to my heart about how much more myself and I'm sure others could accomplish if we lived life straightway. I mean, if we did what we were supposed to do when we were supposed to do it without the procrastination, without the starting and then stopping and not completing whatever task it is that we're supposed to be doing. And so I began to think, pray about it myself, and I thought, you know, if I would exercise this kind of commitment, my life would be better. Because there are things in my life that sometimes really bog me down. But when I look at it, a lot of times it has to do with me not responding when I should respond like I should respond. So I just have a few points this morning. As I said, the week has been somewhat different, but I want to share with you just a few thoughts along that line. How living the straightway life can make a better me or a better you. How living this straightway life can help us be better and have a better year. I want to give you four or five things to consider, okay? Number one, first of all, the straightway life avoids the pitfalls of procrastination. When we do what we're supposed to do without hesitation, immediately, we don't procrastinate. Procrastination carries lots of problems. For example, I think procrastination is a real accelerant to anxiety. Think about it. All these things you know that you're supposed to be doing, that you're not doing, whatever they are, anxiety accelerates in your heart and in your mind because you know eventually you're going to have to do it. And so you become more and more anxious about it. So the straightway life avoids the pitfall of procrastination and helps with this anxiety. It also, I think procrastination is not just an accelerant to anxiety. I think it's food for depression. Because the more things pile up on you emotionally, the more depressed that you're going to become. It feeds depression. So it's a terrible way to live our life, just being a procrastinator. And so when you do that, you're in the pit, and the straightway life says, no, we don't have time for procrastination. When I'm supposed to do that, I just do it right then. Let me give you kind of a lighthearted example to help you understand how it can affect us in all kind of ways. Not real spiritual, but I guess maybe it has a spiritual connotation. But all my life, especially all my married life, Cinda has fussed at me about not hanging up my clothes. Now, do you, all you guys, all you husbands, y'all just go home and hang up your clothes and put everything neatly away? Are y'all good at that? You do? Yeah, well, according to Cinda, all y'all do it, just me doesn't do it. I guarantee you, all they hang up their, well, so I've just lived my whole life just being, you know, I haven't done well at that. And Senator Gore, one time Senator was saying, okay, you know, I have an idea. She's trying to be nice about it. She says, I have an idea. The house was a wreck. She says, let's everybody just pick up whatever belongs to them. You know, me and Ryder are standing there. Okay. And said, then that way we'll get it all done. Just, you don't have to pick up anything. Just pick up what belongs to you. Well, Senator went over and picked up a couple of things, went and sat down. And a couple hours later, Ryder and I got to sit down. And so my point is, I'm not good at that. But not so long ago, maybe a month or two, I started, and when you don't have your clothes, what I do is, did you put your clothes? I just toss them in there in the closet, you know, and it just piles up on me. It's a terrible thing, I know, and I'm ashamed and all this stuff. But anyway, so I decided, you know, this really is no way to live, because when I get dressed in the mornings and try to get going, I couldn't find, where's my belt, where's the shirt I was wanting to wear, where's the shoes? I mean, it was just a big mess, and then anxieties accelerated, and then when I'd look at my creation, it fed my depression, like, I don't know how I'll ever get this mess cleaned up. And so finally one day I just tackled the job, and I hung everything up and color coordinated everything, you know, and just made it look really good. And Cindy came out, I want you to look at that. Well, she had no faith. She said, well, you know, that's good if you can keep it that way. I said, no, I'm going to keep it that way. I like it like this. And so you'd be proud to know that for about a month and a half now, everything is neat and in order. And what I like about it is when I go to get dressed, it's right there. So the straightway life avoids the pitfalls of procrastination. And my point is, things just pile up on you when you keep putting them off. Just like the clothes piled up on me, a lot of your problems just pile up. Tackle them one by one. Do them straightway. If you got a problem, if you got somebody you need to call them straightway. You need to reconcile with a brother or a friend or do it straightway. Do you need to say you're sorry to your wife or to your husband or to your child or to your boss or to your neighbor? Do it straightway. Because you know you're going to have to do it anyway. Just get with it. Straightway. Fix it. It avoids the pitfalls of procrastination. And procrastination can really drain our lives. The second thing, it protects us, the straightway life, protects us from the sin of omission. Did you know that it is a sin to not do whatever it is you're supposed to do? James tells us in James 4:17, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, it's a sin. It's wrong. And so we can't just blow this off. But if we procrastinate through life, we're going to certainly omit to do some things that we should do. And therefore we find ourselves with sin, perhaps, that you're not even aware of, that's going to be dealt with one way or another. So we don't want that. There are sins of commission, sins you commit, and then there are sins that we do by omission, just that thing we don't do that we know we should do. Do you have any of those in your life? Is there something in your life that you know you're supposed to do? Now, I'm not talking about just this moving through life with reckless abandon. That's silly at best, and it's stupid at worst. You know, I've heard people say, if you don't know what to do, just do something, even if it's wrong. That's not true. That's unwise. When you move with reckless abandon, you usually have a wreck, and you abandon the things that are truly right. So you don't want that. So I'm not talking about just doing something to be doing something. But what is it that you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing? What is it in your life that you think, you know, I need to really tackle that one day, or I need to deal with this in my life one day, but you're not? To the straightway life doesn't allow for that. It's, you know, it's at once, it's forthwith, it's moving in harmony with the will of God as being prompted and led by the Holy Spirit, and you avoid that sin of omission. So if there's something you're not doing that you should be doing, get it done. If there's something that you should stop doing, stop it straightway. Or start it straightway. But whatever you do, understand that the sin of omission is a sin. Now, the third thing that the straightway life does for us, makes us a better you and gives us a better year, it avoids missed opportunities in life. You know, that's the thing. Jesus accomplishes so much in such a short amount of time. He doesn't miss opportunities. But if you're not doing what you should be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it, prompted by the Holy Spirit, obeying God, think of all the opportunities you're missing. You're just running behind in the race. You know, the Apostle Paul, in context of what I'm saying, he lived a straightway kind of life. Think about it. That man accomplished so much for Jesus in his life. How did he do it? Well, much like what I'm talking about. What did he say? When he looked at his life or looked at his ministry or looked at the way he lived, he said, "This one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the prize of a high calling. I forget the things that are behind, and I'm moving forward to the things that are ahead." You have goals in your life. You have things that you want to do, you want to accomplish. Straightway life avoids missed opportunities. It says, hey, look, I'm going to do it when I'm supposed to do it because there's going to be other things I need to do later. And you're not going to lag behind. I wonder how many of us have missed so many opportunities in our life because we were not at the right place at the right time, because we were running so far behind, because we just put off what we should be doing. The straightway life avoids missed opportunities. Number four, the straightway life prioritizes what really matters in life. When you live the straightway life, your priorities are right. You care about the things that really matter. There's a great parable that Solomon gives in the Old Testament. He said, "I went by this vineyard, and when I saw it, it was destroyed. The weeds had piled up, and the wall had broken down, and foxes had trampled through the grapes, and all of that." He said, "And I wondered who owns this vineyard that has just let everything go. Must be a really lazy person." And so the parable elaborates as it describes the vineyard and the mess that it's in. And the message is this: when we don't take care of our vineyard, this is what's going to happen to our lives. Your vineyard could be your body, it could be your family, it could be your job, it could be your marriage, it could be anything. But he's saying, look, it's a parable. He's just illustrating how things that we should value become devalued because we don't have our priorities right in life. But when the straightway life is about having the right priorities, it's about doing what we should be doing when we're supposed to be doing it. If you don't do it, if you don't take care of whatever it is in your life that has value, it's going to fall apart no matter what it is. And it can be your emotional constitution. It could be material things. If you don't take care of them, they're going to break down and fall apart. But your spiritual life is the same way. And so the straightway life, the better, when I talk about making a better me, guaranteeing me a better year, if I can live a straightway life, if I can do what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it, I'll avoid the pitfalls of procrastination, and there are many of them. I didn't elaborate on all of them. I'll protect myself from the sin of omission. I'm going to not miss so many opportunities that I have to serve others or to enrich my own life with what Christ wants me to be doing. And my priorities are going to show, and the things that we value most are going to be protected. Number five, the straightway life, doing things the straightway, understands that tomorrow may never come. You know, I used to say here, adults say as a kid, you know, never put off today what you can do tomorrow. And I thought, well, why? If we can do it tomorrow, you know, what's wrong with that? Well, you might not be here tomorrow. And I'm like, what is it? won't really matter if we did it or not, will it? Well, in terms of spiritual things, think about it. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath. You don't know when your work on this earth is going to be done. And this is the point I've been working toward, as I want to talk about my youngest brother-in-law. He was a very nice-looking young man, growing up, good-looking guy, very talented in so many ways in terms of the way he could work with his hands and do things. I mean, he could fix most anything. He and I actually worked together a little bit for my dad, and I was more on the selling end of some remodeling, and I certainly wasn't on the fixing end because I can't hardly fix anything. As a matter of fact, on top of everything else, I had some plumbing problems this week, and Cinda straightway told me that I should call a plumber. And I straightway answered, "I can fix it." And she said, "Frank, please call a plumber." "I can fix this." I said, "You know, look, here's the thing. I bought that pipe wrench here a while back. I've dropped a couple of pounds, and so I've got the pants to swing it." You'll catch that in a minute, let me tell you. Okay. I said, "So here's my plumber and my wrench. Now I'm ready to tackle. I can do it." Oh, so she goes on and does what she's doing. So I go in there, go to Home Depot and get a faucet. Take the faucet. This is on the bathtub, okay? Put it together, and it's working. But here's the thing. Guys, maybe you knew this, but a sink faucet will not work well in a bathtub. It just doesn't work that well. Senator turned the thing on. She said, "Frank, it took 37 minutes to fill up the tub. It just like drips out of there, you know? You can't, they don't work." So I says, "Okay." Well, so we had to order a faucet. So the faucet gets here, and those things are really expensive. And so I says, "Well, look, okay, I'll put this on. I know, obviously know what I'm, well, the fittings are completely different than what I have. And then you got to drill this hole in the tub because the thing doesn't fit down in there. So go back to Home Depot and get that one hole drill job, you know, that you change doorknobs out, but I got it for." And so I'm, here's the thing, drilling that hole out on a fiberglass tub, when you set that thing down there, it just moves all over. And I'm like, "Jesus, how in the world do I get this thing?" I sleep it, zip, zip. And I spent like 2 or 3 hours just doing this. Well, my son-in-law, Alan, he comes over and he says, and he's like my brother-in-law, he fixed things. And so I said, "Alan," he said, "you need some help." I said, "Oh, it's a stinking drill." I said, "This drill won't drill in anything. It's one of those battery jobs." I said, "It's probably half dead. It's not strong enough." He said, "Well, let me take a look at it." And Alan takes a look at it, and he sets it down there. And honest to God, I think it took him 30 seconds to drill that hole, maybe less. I said, "Okay, Alan, you got to tell me." And so he said, "Well, you got to tilt it. I'm trying to help you guys. If you don't get anything out of the sermon, I'll help you how to drill a hole in the bathtub." He said, "You got to tilt it a little bit, you know, get the little indention, and then you get it started and go." And I said, "Could we not tell anybody about this?" And here I am. So anyway, so now, okay, he said, "Well, you got it." I said, "Well, I got it now, no doubt about it." And so you go on, do what you're doing. I know how to hook it up. So I put it in there. And then I learned that the line coming out didn't match the lines. And back to Home Depot, come back and put the fittings and get that. And then turn it on. And man, water is honest to God. It's spraying all over the house. It's a complete disaster. And so straightway, Cinda reminds me to straightway call a plumber, which I straightway did. When the plumber got there, he picked up my handiwork, and he looked at it. And
he said, well, you know, you had the right idea. You had the wrong. He's being nice. Of course, you know, I'm paying customer. So anyway, he had the whole thing fixed in about 20 minutes. Okay, this is 2.5 days. And we have on our tub these unique markings now, the tub, you know, where I just, with my drill and stuff. And so I should have listened and straightway called the plumber, because what happens is, if you don't straightway do what you're supposed to do, you're going to devalue what is valuable. Back to this. So my brother-in-law was that way. He was like Alan. He could fix anything. But he had a problem in his life. At some point, he took a wrong turn and got involved with substance abuse. And it just took control of his life. This nice-looking, talented young man becomes just a shell of himself, really. And he's, honestly, at some point, he's can be difficult to be around, hard to handle. You know, people with substance issues can say the most ridiculous things, justify things, and it's just difficult to hang around. So there have been a lot of disconnect with him over the years for these reasons. But and his substance landed him on the wrong side of the law, as it often does. And so he's in prison for a while. Well, while he's in prison, he hears the gospel, and he comes to Christ, and he's actually baptized. Now, those of us that have dealt with people that have been in and out of prison, we understand the whole knock sometimes on what's called jailhouse religion. They're all praying in there, want to get out. So it takes some time to understand if it's a genuine commitment or if it's just, you know, kind of a spare tire thing. But as it turns out, when he's released from prison, he's in Mississippi, out of state, and He meets this path. He doesn't have anything. That's what's hard for somebody getting out of prison. They don't really, it's hard for them to start their life better because they, you know, background checks and jobs and things. But all indications are is that he only has a desire to stay sober, to do right. And he comes across this pastor, and they really connect. They build a friendship. Pastor helps him. He invites him to his home to eat, and he always stops and says, look, let me work for this. And he, all of the qualities that I used to really love about him when he was much younger, this pastor related to us. That's the way he used to be, you know, before he had this problem. He said, no, he never asked for anything. He wanted to work for something. He wanted to get this done. And he was always uncomfortable when we didn't let him do something, whether it was we were trying to help him with food or whatever the situation was. He said, but one day he sat down and he told us all the things he'd done in his life and how terrible it was and how the substance took control of his life and led him down these dark paths, and said he just cried and we prayed with him and said it was just a wonderful thing to see the sincerity and the honesty in him. This was refreshing to us to hear these things. Okay, so one day he's talking to his brother, and you know his brother, Wade. He's sung here many times. And he tells Wade, he said, Wade, I heard this song, The Old Rugged Cross. He said, you know that verse where it says, he'll call me one day to my home far away? He said, when I heard that, I just started bawling, crying. And he's not a crier by nature. And so he says, it just got a hold of my heart, and I just started sobbing. I just started crying. And Wade was trying to say, well, that's the Lord, you know, talking to you. That was the day before he left this world. He'll call me one day to my home far away, and he begins to break up and cry, and he doesn't even understand why. The next day, he's talking to his brother, Wade, and it's just a casual talk. And he says to Wade, yeah, I said last night, you know, this is what I ate, and this is what I did, and this stuff. And what you need to know, what I missed in this story, is that his hearing had gotten really bad, and he'd had a hearing aid. Well, somebody else needed it, and he's the type of person, he just gave him his hearing aid, and he couldn't hear very well. But he's walking on the train track, because the train track would kind of lead to where his pastor friend was down the line a little bit. But he's on the phone with his brother. He said, yeah, I did this last night, did this. And he's walking down the track. And he says, oh, Wade, there's a train. Boom. And you can hear it. The message was recorded. You can hear it. It's horrible. You can hear the grinding of the train, and it's gone. That's the last thing. Wade, there's a train. And he's gone. Thank God he's in heaven. But think about that. He'll call me one day to his home far away, and his heart is unusually gripped. Wade, there's a train. Boom, gone. Just like that. You see, so many people have every intention in the world of coming to Christ one day. One day. I'm going to repent of that one day. I'm going to get that right one day. And people of all ages are just taking instantly. We recently lost a beautiful young teenager in our community. Bless the heart for that family. And I buried other teenagers. My own little brother, last thing he said to me was, I'll see you tomorrow. And you never know why it happens like that, that you don't have all the answers. But if you're not straightway answering and Jesus is straightway calling, you're in serious danger. Because it could happen to you, friend. There's no promise that you're going to be here tomorrow. The disciples, Jesus said, come follow me straightway. They straightway answered. Is he straightway calling you to come to him? I'm so burdened about some people that I love and care about who for some reason they're just, their lives just got entangled with one thing or another, and they're out of church, and we're not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about for other reasons. And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, Jesus, call them straightway, and may they straightway answer. Because life's too short. You know, Charles Spurgeon said that to start and stop, to resolve and then retract. He said it murders life and it mocks the time God has given you. It's a willful murderer of life and a mockery to time. Because your time's running out. Every person here, let me tell you, your time is running out. And I know my time's right. Maybe this is why the Holy Spirit says, Frank, you know, you need to get about things straightway because, you know, you're missing opportunities and you're procrastinating and your priorities are messed. Maybe this is why he said, because, you know, I don't have as much time as I used to have. I sat over a while ago and I asked Fane a question. I've been going to church all my life and I've never asked this question one time in my life that I asked Fane. I said, is it cold in here? Because I'm never cold. But now I'm cold all the time. Blood's thin, mind's addle, vision's dim. You know, not young as we used to be. Time's running out. But who knows when the last time has come. He straightway calls. Straightway answer. Because he's going to call you one day to your home far away. Are you ready? You know, I don't mean just, are you saved? Of course, if you're not saved, you're not ready to be. But you ready to go like you are? A better year starts with the better you. Jesus did things straightway. Every day. It guarantees a better you and a better year. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your boundless mercy, your amazing grace. Thank you for saving my brother-in-law, Lord, before the day that you did take him from this earth. I thought about the life that he lived, most of it in sin. And I remembered the parable that you spoke about how all these religious people thought they were okay. And here comes these harlots, and here comes these publicans, and they all are confessing their sin, and they're getting right with God, and they're getting saved. And you told those religious people, you said, they're going into the kingdom instead of you. Lord, if there's somebody here today that thinks by their human goodness they have any hope of heaven, straightway call them. Help them to understand, Lord, that it is only that old rugged cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh God. And the only hope of heaven was the sacrifice of your Son, where our sins were punished. That's where our forgiveness is. The Christ of the cross was the God of the resurrection. And Lord, you have the power to save. You have the power to change lives. You have resurrection power. Bring hope to that person whose heart is hurting for whatever reason. For that person that has not trusted you yet, Lord, I pray this would be the morning they do it. We're all here for a reason. There are people listening online now. Lord, they're listening for a reason. Every message, Lord, we're accountable for. Help us respond according to your will. In Christ's name, amen. Will you stand as we sing?